This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 488 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on this week's show, well, it's going to be this or it's going to be that. And to help me play and explain that, now we have a couple of my most fun co-hosts. First, we have Melissa. Hey Melissa, how's it going?
Hey everyone, happy unofficial start to summer. It's June 1st when we're recording, and I love this time of year.
Oh, it's great. It's starting to get warm in the Northeast finally. We had our spring, so I was very thankful for that. So, yeah, we're going to be 90-something tomorrow. It's going to be crazy. Also, to help us out tonight, we have Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
What's going on, Ed? You know what? Everybody was just hanging on, wondering who the next person you were going to introduce was, right? Your two favorite. Was it going to be Melissa and who? Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Jimmy or Sam? I'll just leave it at that. It's Sam.
Right. Well, we're going to definitely find out. We're definitely going to find out who listens to the show also.
That's awesome. I love that.
So for tonight's show, we're going to do this or that. And it's going to be kind of a game. I'm going to work with my co-host, asking questions and getting some quick knee-jerk answers. Before I do that, though, I just wanted to take a minute to kind of give kudos out to touringplans.com. As you hear from some of the shows, they're one of our sponsors. And this actually, 2 or 3 days ago, I used one of the tools from their website for my June trip and was able to get a Yak and Yeti reservation 11:30 in the afternoon or in the morning. So lunchtime, right in the middle of that. What they have is a great tool. You put in the range of dates, you put in the time you want to go, and you put the restaurant, obviously, and then you connect your phone to it. So I got a text Monday morning. About maybe 45 minutes, an hour later, I was able to get online, find the restaurant, and the reservation was still available. Booked it, all set. It was for, like I said, Yak and Yeti at 11:30. That's prime lunchtime.
It is, especially for somebody like you who's going to knock down the gates and get over to Pandora as soon as you walk in. That's awesome timing.
Sure. 11:30 is definitely late in the day for us as far as rope drops go. However, I want to tell you, the plan for this trip coming up is that we're going to Animal Kingdom the night after we do the after hours event at Hollywood Studios.
Very nice.
So my idea is to wake up at 7 a.m., roll over, get a lightning lane for Pandora, the Flight of Passage, and then maybe get a couple more hours and then go into the park. Something we don't often do, but something we're probably going to have to try for this one. We'll see.
That'll be awesome. I love Yak and Yeti. I think the menu is really eclectic, but approachable. A nice view of sitting up in that upper second story and overlooking the sidewalk. It's one of my favorite places.
Right. Definitely looking forward to it. Even their appetizers are pretty appealing there too. So midday, seeing how warm it is. My daughter Hope's going with me. She's definitely psyched. And I also got myself a Landry card. So the Landry is the company that owns the restaurants, owns Yak and Yeti and a bunch of others in Walt Disney World and elsewhere. And basically by getting the membership, you've got some things called like priority seating.
Yeah.
The cost of my membership is coming right back to me the first time I use one of the restaurants. It's going to be a credit then. And knock on wood, lucky for me, it's my birthday month. So June is an extra amount of credit they'll give you. Plus, the extra double bonus is that June is annual pass holder VIP month. We've talked about that a couple shows. That means that the discount in Yak and Yeti is going to be double. So 10%, it's going to be 20%. So anything that overgoes all the credit we're getting, we're going to pay with that. Very much looking forward to it. And man, at Disney World, you got to try to save a dime wherever you can.
Absolutely. Every place you can.
Tonight's show is going to be fun. We're calling it This or That because I'm going to give each of my co-hosts a question that's going to let them choose between, well, basically this or that, one item or another. A perfect example question that's a throwaway that I used to explain the idea was, remember that when you went on the Pirates way back when, you had a choice of the left line or right line. So that's your question. Which way would you go, left or right? So as a practice, guys, what do you think? Melissa, when you were on Pirates way back when, which way did you go, left or right?
Always go left because I think it was probably touring plans or something told you that naturally humans want to go, or at least Americans want to go to the right.
That's right.
And so if you went to the left, the line would be shorter.
Okay. Sam, how about you?
I completely agree with that for the same reasons, although now we know you can't do that because the right lane or the right lane is your your Genie Plus lane and the left lane is everybody else. But I completely agree. Always go left. Even when you tour the park, always go to the left because human nature is to go to the right.
Sure. And of course, that's going to change once in a while. And I always went left too. But there are times when we got there, the left line was all the way out to the entrance and the right line, you couldn't see where the line started. So sometimes you got to roll the dice, but you never know.
You had too many people at the park that day that had read the tip and they just followed the left because that's what the book said.
It happens a lot.
Right. Well, that's why some of the hints we kind of keep to ourselves. Only a couple. we spill everything else. Okay, guys. So let's jump into the questions.
All right.
Tell you what, we're going to start out with kind of a simpler one, too. Something you always think about running through the parks, getting some quick energy, a quick snack. Sam, we're going to start with you. Popcorn or soft pretzel?
That's a tough one because that's the ultimate question that I pose my kids every time we get there. And the look on their faces is,
And buckets notwithstanding, we're not talking buckets. Just literally.
No, I understand. It's just what is that snack that you're after? Is it a Mickey pretzel or is it Walt Disney World popcorn?
Well, think for yourself. What do you want?
I am going for the Walt Disney World popcorn. Typically, unless it's first thing in the morning, then I'm going to get the cinnamon roll. But that's a different story. I'm going to say I'm going for popcorn.
We're not going off script.
I'm going popcorn.
Either
going
to be popcorn or pretzel.
Popcorn.
Sam says popcorn. Very cool. Melissa, what do you think?
I would go with popcorn unless it was the pretzel in Germany.
Oh, that's fair. That's very fair.
Fair enough. And I tell you what, I'm of course going to have a little more time to think about these questions, so my answers aren't going to be 100% as valid. However, I would say pretzel, especially for breakfast, especially for a snack during the day. My touring plan has me running around, and popcorn's just not enough. So if I'm going to go with one or the other, I'm going to go with pretzel. And there are a lot of varieties of them around, so I can kind of like spice it up a little bit.
Sure. And by the way, there's no wrong answer there. Come on.
No. Now, something else we discussed, too, is that a lot of times, not often, but sometimes, you will have a chance to change your answer based on conditions. So we'll have to see as these questions come up if that is an issue or not. Okay, very random. We're going to be jumping all over the place. Melissa, this is going to be your question, and we're going to jump over to the Star Wars world, okay?
Okay.
Way random from what we just talked about.
Star Wars World, Star Wars Land, or what you really mean is Batuu?
No. Here we go. Here's your question.
What do you mean?
Obi-Wan Kenobi or Yoda?
Oh.
And everybody out there listening, while these co-hosts think about these, definitely, what are you thinking? Don't forget, you could let us have an email. I'll read them online next time we have a show.
Oh, I'm just going to say Yoda. I don't really have a reason why, and maybe it's connection, you know, like, yeah, Yoda. Yep.
Okay. Very cool. Sam?
Sorry, I don't have a reason. That was a hard one.
That's what we have to think. And now you have a couple extra minutes while Sam gives his answer if you want to come back with me with some answer too. So don't worry about that. Dude, Sam, you're up.
Dude, Darth Vader for sure. But I digress.
In lieu of that not being one of the questions.
I understand. So I don't quite, if we're talking about, here's where my mind went, to a potential meet and greet. And if there were ever a meet and greet of those two, I want to see Yoda every day, all the time, because I'm hoping he looks a little bit about Grogu, who we've seen over in Galaxy's Edge. To see Yoda in a meet and greet would be phenomenal, because the Obi-Wan's just going to be some dude that looks a little bit like one of the Obi-Wans. So Yoda, absolutely.
Okay, there you go. So I tell you what, in real life, as far as just trying to meet the Jedi Knight himself, what do you think? Does that change your answer at all?
No, because I will be disappointed if it's not Obi-Wan. I mean, it's not going to be Sir Alec Guinness, so.
Right, right. And actually,
you want to meet old Obi-Wan?
I do. Well, that's when I was a kid. That was Obi-Wan. I mean, he's Obi-Wan. True. But I understand, and I'm fine with.
And I got to say, Ewan McGregor has taken over the part in my mind.
And it's fine with that. I agree with you.
Alec Guinness was the older gentleman.
Yes.
He was now like the movie and a half other Obi-Wan Kenobi, while Ewan McGregor is the main character.
And I agree with you. He's taken over, but I...
And actually, that's who I was going to pick was Obi-Wan Kenobi. I feel I could kind of relate more to him as opposed to Yoda being awed by Yoda. So I gave it kind of, like I said, I had a couple.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. I understand.
Plus the series sealed it. So
the series was great.
Obi-Wan.
Series was great.
Okay. Well, very cool. Very nice. Let's jump back into the parks because we love the parks. And we're going to go to the Animal Kingdom. And something we're always telling people when you're at the Animal Kingdom, you got to see the live shows. Yeah. So, Melissa, for you, you can only see one of them because it's the last show of the day and they're closing. Lion King or Finding Nemo, the musical?
Lion King.
And why? That was a quick answer. That was great. Why?
I think the puppetry in Lion King is just classic. If you haven't seen, you know, been able to see the touring Broadway or gone and seen on Broadway, it's a great opportunity to see a little snippet of what it would be like. And I think that the architecture, the art, the music is quintessential Disney and over the top for how many shows they put on in a day. But being able to like go and see it for the price of your admission to the park already is pretty spectacular.
I like that. Good answer. Okay, Sam, how about you?
No, I love that answer. And you give two that everybody thinks are the best in Animal Kingdom. I think the Acrobats of Harambe are actually pretty darn good, and I might go to them over both. But to me, it is also...
And adding your third option.
I'm always adding a third option because the Acrobats of Harambe are awesome. The guys, they're crazy.
Do not disagree with you.
But that said, I would go Lion King because Tumble Monkeys.
Yeah. Great.
Because if I think about it, what does Finding Nemo, The Big Blue and Beyond, is an awesome show. It's great. It's the story of Nemo. I have no problems with it whatsoever. It's a great show. But if I had to pick one or the other, I'd go see Lion King.
Right. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. And that's where I went too, because if it was maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago with the previous version of Nemo, maybe I might have a harder time because I've always argued that was my favorite show to see at Animal Kingdom. However, with COVID and then Lion King opening up first and then Nemo opening up shortened, it really made me reappreciate the Lion King show a lot.
Yeah.
And being able to see the different parts of it come back and then being able to try to work around the parts they didn't have and such like that. I definitely dig the Lion King. You're right. The puppetry's great. The athletes, the acrobats are incredible. And even your little piece of the Polynesian and your little piece of, you know, the two birds giving you a little classical going on there. Definitely Lion King.
The thing about that that's crazy to me, Ed, is the fact that that was thrown together at the last minute to go into Camp Minnie Mickey when they didn't have anything else to put in there because of budget cuts. Even back then, there were budget cuts. And it has stood the test of time and is still a go-to attraction at Animal Kingdom 25 years later. Crazy.
Oh, no doubt. It gives you a taste of the play also, the Broadway play.
Sure it does.
Without them knowing it, because I think it was available or there before they did the Broadway play. I'd have
That's a great question. Somebody's yelling at us right now. Oh, no, the play came first, or the Lion King.
Well, email me and let me know before the next show. Definitely. Okay, here we go. Transportation question. Ooh. And Sam's going to get it first. So we're at the Magic Kingdom, and for whatever reason that day, we drove in. So we're at the Ticket and Transportation Center. It is morning. We're going to Rope Drop.
Okay.
Are you taking the monorail or the steamboat? And don't let Rope Drop be the indicator for you. You're there plenty of time to spare, so you're not rushing.
I'm going to make a decision on the fly for this one, because if people are walking onto the boat, I'm going to the boat. If they're not and they're waiting for it to come, or one just pulled out, I'm going to the monorail.
Okay.
So it's I would say by default it's monorail, but if I'm walking up and I see people are getting on the boat, then I'm going to go on it, because standing there waiting for a boat and watching it come across, that if I want to get the Rope Drop, I'm going to get antsy. I'm going to get anxious. I want to get there. I'd rather be in a line that's moving for the monorail. But you also draw is the monorail working well that day?
Right.
Why can't I walk?
I'm surprised that Sam didn't give the option of walking.
I you could now.
That's a heck of a walk. You could do it, but that's still a heck of a walk.
You could do it when the walkway is opened from Grand Floridian over, which they just did. But if I was going to do that, I'd probably walk out to the Poly and get on the boat that then jumps over to Magic Kingdom.
Sure, and you'd still have to do the on the fly. Is it on the way here? Did it just leave?
Yeah.
Before we go too much further, Melissa, what's your answer?
Monorail. I think that's the intended way to enter the park.
It is.
When I'm taking, guests who haven't been to Magic Kingdom before or in a long time, and they, want to approach Magic Kingdom that way. It's your first attraction that you get on. You're going through and you get to see the Contemporary, and then you get to see Tomorrowland, and you see the castle, and you get off, and then you're just coming down those ramps and doors open up. It's Magic Kingdom to me.
Nice. Good reasons there. For me, I'm going to go with I have a problem with the monorail still. I'm still very iffy with it breaking down. I am still iffy with going through the ticket booths, or I'm sorry, Ticket and Transportation Center, where you walk past where you can buy everything, and seeing the line already for the monorail at the bottom of the ramp with only one of the lanes open. And like Sam said, I guess it is kind of an option. If the boat just left, yeah, I'm looking at the monorail and seeing how fast that line's moving. But the last time I was there for Rope Drop, they had 3 steamboats running. So I guess the time of the year definitely matters too. Summertime, they want to get people over there. I love the steamboat because, first of all, I'm not jammed on there with 1,000 other people with my elbows pulled onto me. Well, normally. And then that saves for the nighttime trip back.
Yeah.
And then as you cross over the lake, it's like Melissa said, you see a couple like gateway things on your way to the Magic Kingdom. At one point, you do see the castle, but you're seeing the Polynesian on your left. You're seeing the Contemporary coming out from behind the island and just showing up there. And then if you're lucky, you're seeing the monorail coming over in front of you. You might see the train. So I kind of like the steamboat in that regard. Coming back at night, it's always depending.
That's completely different, though, coming back at night, because you can't make that spur-of-the-moment decision of the boat just left. Because when you're coming back at night, the monorail station's all the way over on the right-hand side and the boat dock's on the left-hand side. So it's not an easy walk between those two things.
And I tell you, the boats, last time I was there, I was so impressed because they have upper deck loading now and bottom deck loading. They have double decker docks.
Yeah, during busy days.
Yeah,
very it's cool.
It's so much easier for them to get people off of that thing.
Very cool.
But then again, you have a big surge of 300 people hitting the ticket, the turnstiles at one time. Okay, so we've been running around. We've been hitting Rope Drops, getting to the parks. Now it's time for our day off, okay? We got up late. We had lunch in the cafeteria, whatever hotel we're at. So now here's the question for you for the afternoon. What are you doing? Are you going to be doing pool time? And this is for Melissa. Or are you going to be doing Disney Springs?
Pool time. That sounds much more relaxing. It'll probably, honestly, I don't pick either, but if I had to pick, pool time sounds. Get a drink, relax by the pool, read a book. Sounds good.
Nice. Nice, very relaxing. Sam, what do you
Ed, I almost think it's both. It's pool time up until dinner when you head to Springs. I mean, it's also going to depend on the resort that I'm staying and the pool and the things that are around, because I may be hanging out at the pool and then eating at the resort if there's a good place for dinner that I haven't been to in a while. Especially, look, if you're at some place like Animal Kingdom Lodge, yeah, I'm hanging at the pool and then I'm going to go and have dinner locally. If I'm in another place where the pool's okay, maybe a little pool time, a drink at the bar, and then head to Springs. So right. Almost both. That's hard to pick.
Yeah, that's why the question is there. For me, for that question, it is, again, like you're saying, it's a tough question because we don't have downtime when we usually go to Walt Disney World. So
that's true.
Disney Springs or pool time never really comes to be a question. The only time it is maybe if we have a late departure day or something like that. But it was funny because I put it my daughter and she's like, Disney Springs, what are you talking about? Pool time? Well, we go to the pool whenever we want. That's not something we want to do.
Okay.
And then she mentioned all the little kids. So my daughter is definitely not dealing with the kid situation at this point.
Got it.
But I kind of agree as far as I would, I don't know. I'd actually like to do pool time because I've never done that often.
Yeah, I'm with you, Edward. Like, normally we are go, go, go. Rope drop to park close. If we have Disney Springs, it's our arrival day. So, you know, we flew in, probably got in, you know, 2 o'clock, and then we just go to Disney Springs because we're anxious to get out and go do some stuff, right?
Right.
And so pool days just don't exist, but we're really trying to focus on enjoying the resorts lately. And you spend all this money and you upgrade to a moderate or a deluxe or whatever. And it's like, sure. I got to take advantage of these places. So we did that on our last trip, and we've got a resort day for our upcoming trip in November, mm-hmm. just to sort of enjoy the things that they have there, even if it is just hanging at the pool or grabbing a drink at the bar or something.
Sure. Actually, it's funny you mention that, because in that same vein, Jimmy, our other co-host, he actually just got back from a weekend at Walt Disney World where him and his son did not go to the parks at all. Yeah. They went down there, stayed at a really great place, and played golf for 2 days and ate the restaurants, basically lived it up without doing any park time at Walt Disney World. So hopefully next week we'll have him on. We're going to hear all about that trip. Okay, so here we go with another question. Where are we going to go with this one? Okay, here we're going to go over to Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
About rides. So now the big news, not big news, but news that came out this week, actually, was that the Rock and Roller Coaster is now open again at Hollywood Studios. The big, big bad rumor was that they closed it down, not just for refurbishments, but to pull out Aerosmith. Supposedly there were some reports that the lead singer had some issues, the Me Too moment was jumping in, and that they might strip Aerosmith out of that and make it some other type of attraction, a la Splash Mountain. That did not happen. I heard the colors are just updated, the lights are updated, or the lack of, and it's supposed to be really great now. I saw some great, great pictures of people on it, so looking forward to it. So yeah. Here's your question, and I think this is Sam. When you're walking down Sunset Boulevard, what is your option? Are you going to the Tower of Terror, or are you going to the Rock and Roller Coaster? You can only pick one, because it's the end of the night, your last ride, and obviously, I'd be in Star Wars, but we got to go here. One, two. You're on our way out. So which one are you picking?
I've been in that situation before. And for me, it's Rock and Roller Coaster every time.
Okay.
Because at that point in the day, the ups and downs of the Tower of Terror might not. I'd rather be spun around upside down and zoom forward than be thrown up and down. So it is Rock and Roller Coaster for me.
Nice. How about you, Melissa?
All day, every day, no matter the time, it's Tower of Terror. My awesome. Favorite ride at Walt Disney World, yeah. So that's an easy one.
My wife would say that too. So.
What's your big thing about about Tower Terror? Your main big go-to reason why you're going to tell somebody to ride it with you over the Rock and Roller Coaster?
It pulls you faster than gravity. You never know what ride you're going to get.
Yeah. Okay. I buy that because I'm totally on board with the same answer as far as that goes. Tower of Terror. I love Rock and Roller Coaster. It's a great roller coaster, but the tower has you guessing all the time. And I guess this kind of also falls into the time of day question, because any time when the sun goes down, a Tower of Terror is better by like times 10, because your eyes are adjusted, the door opens up at the top, and when it closes, you're going up and down in the tunnel, you're not like blinded. So it's really, really like a fun, like adventure. Rock and Roller Coaster, geez, you know what? They owe me a ride still. The last time I was on it, we got stuck in the coaster, right in the tunnel. And we're literally 2 minutes waiting for that shoot off to go up the tunnel. Like, when's it going to happen? When's it? And then they stopped. All the lights in the tunnel came on in front of us. And then they had everybody get up and they walked us off. So next time on it, I can't wait. But yeah, Tower of Terror, definitely would I would have to choose that one. So nice. Very good, guys. Very good. Okay. Here's a simple one, but maybe not so.
Okay.
Have you guys seen Frozen? And this will be Melissa's first, but I'm sure you've all seen Frozen.
Wait, what was that? You talking about drinks, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, the movie Frozen, part one. Yes. Elsa or Anna? Anna.
Anna. Wow.
Melissa first. And why?
Anna. Anna. She's independent, and she's fun, and she's caring, and yeah, Anna's my favorite.
Cool. Sam?
Yeah, I'm going with Anna too, because she's silly. I just think she's funny.
Very cool. Good answer. My answer also is Anna. I'm thinking more like, you remember that movie where the girlfriend was a superhero, and when they broke up, she was just like powerful? Well, Elsa's got kind of like some issues, and she's very powerful. So
she's got some issues. I like that.
Yeah, so we'll stay with Anna. So, okay, that was pretty cool. Although they're both great to see, meet and greets, they're incredible characters. All the times those actresses definitely get into it with you. So either one.
Absolutely.
Elsa is a very inspiring character as well. She resonates with many people going through different struggles in their life or identities. And so I think she's an important character as well. And I do appreciate her as that yin and yang to Anna.
Yeah, very cool. Very, very cool. Okay, guys, back to the resorts. And this one kind of comes up every so often when you stay at these resorts. So we're all familiar with the All-Star. They are the discount hotels, quote unquote.
The least expensive of the Disney options.
Sure.
It's called the value.
That's the word I was looking for, the value. Now, here's your question.
They're not cheap sometimes, let's be honest.
That's very true. We're getting to that point. We used to include Pop with this category, but it's so far out of this category now.
No, Pop's like a moderate.
It is so much a moderate.
Well, discounted moderate. You could call that one a discounted moderate show.
Well, you get a gondola, that's what happens.
You're staying at the All-Star Resorts. You have to stay, and you're getting a free two-night stay, but you get to pick which resort you're going to stay at. Are you staying at sports, movie, or music, and why?
All right, this is a hard question for me because it's been quite a while since I've stayed at those. I'm going to be at the one closest, which I think is sports. Is sports the closest? That is the one that I would go at, and the reason that I would go there, because it's the closest bus stop. Look, these hotels, unless you go to Animal Kingdom, they're the furthest away.
So that's true. So there's nothing with the different facilities. It's all to you the same. It's just who's closer.
To me, it's all the same except for theme. Now, we're talking about me. If I'm with some kids that want to see something, I would stay at that resort so they could get their picture taken in front of the big Dalmatian or whatever they wanted to do. I mean, whatever, right? But if it's me, I'm going to go to the one that's the closest, and I'm going to try to be as close to the front so I can be by a bus stop so I can get in and out. And in that case, I'm probably going to Disney Springs, not to the pool. Nice. But that's, yes. So I would say sports because of location.
Right. Cool. Melissa.
I'm going to sound really snobby and say that I've never stayed at any of them. I've always gone to Pop if I'm at the...
No reason for that. That's fine.
I visited sports before, so I I've driven through them. I think movies, the theming sounds neater. All the giant statues are a little obnoxious, but at least movies. There's
but there's kids that love to get their picture taken in front of them.
No, and we enjoyed that at Pop. Like, that was fun to go through.
Right. And each of them has their... Actually, I should say music has its thing, too, because each one of those resorts has a 8-track in front of it, or it's got something that's got something worth looking at. So you can see what it is and stuff like that. Sports, not so much as far as that stuff.
I just mean, like, I'm not really drawn to the iconic big statue things that they have for music or sports. Movie sounds neat. I was helping somebody recently with the buildings, and I thought the building name sounded fun, you know. So,
oh, sure. Yeah, and it is.
Movies.
They're all pretty the same, but you're right. Movies is the most fun. Sports is the most utilitarian, and music is just kind of like in between.
Otherwise, I'd say whichever's in the middle, because then I can get on different buses depending. Well, they all stop at the same thing.
Supposedly, here's the way it runs: the first two hotels share the bus, while the third one has its own.
Then I would want my own, whatever one that one.
So the way they go in order is alphabetically reversed. So it goes sports, music, movie. Now, okay. It's funny, if you look at a map at these hotels, Sam was mentioning how far out of the realm they are. They are literally about, as the bird flies, 2 miles across the little wooded area to I-192. And we know how far south that is from the entire property
of Walt Disney World.
But the buses do get back and forth. And you know what? The only really long drive from there is the Magic Kingdom, which is basically a long drive from almost everywhere on property. But even going up to Hollywood Studios isn't that much, because as soon as you get on World Drive, it's like usually that first right. So that's not a bad drive. Epcot a little further up, not as bad, but still. But yeah, so I would say movies for my own bus sake, and because it's got the cool theme. But otherwise, they're all so much the same that, yeah, you know, whatever has the best deal. And the only reason I stayed there the first couple of times were because that's where Jimmy got the value discount for the meetups. So a couple of different meetup years, we were able to stay over at the different value resorts, the All-Stars. And they're working on it still. They're not all caught up. So if you guys are going to stay there, anybody listening also, definitely check in to make sure, have they got the Murphy bed in there now, or the floors, the carpets out, stuff like that. I'm not sure where they are in the status of the updates, but they're still kind of working their way through there. So, okay. So we're going to go. Let's go on some world travel. Now, I'm going to throw two names at you, and Sam's going to have this.
World travel. You're talking world showcase? I'm confused.
Here we go. And you don't have to know anything about the questions I'm going to give you, the this or the that. Just in your things that you've heard in the past, just your instincts.
This sounds like an NCAA pool where my wife asks what color the uniforms are.
When?
Which mascot do you like better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sam, Tokyo Disney or Hong Kong Disney?
Disney. Tokyo Disney Sea all day long.
He says that with
confidence. On my bucket list.
What's the big
reason? Someday I'm going to get Tokyo Disney Sea. Anything that you have ever read about Disney parks will tell you that Tokyo Disney Sea is a unique adventure unlike any Disney park in the world, and I can't wait to experience it someday. So it's because of Tokyo Disney Sea. Absolutely.
Okay. How about you, Melissa?
Yeah, I'd say Tokyo Disney Sea. I want to go to Japan. I think the Haunted Mansion that's there looked really neat on...
With the monkey thing?
Yeah, with the Imagineering.
I forget the monkey's name in that. Somebody's yelling right now.
But the Disney Plus series that explored the history of the different
behind
attractions.
Behind the attraction.
And then they did a Haunted Mansion episode, and that looked awesome to see that,
nice.
That version.
Very cool.
Speaking of a Haunted Mansion episode, isn't there a movie coming?
Yes, there is.
Yes.
Can't wait. So far,
mixed
so
feelings,
good.
But we'll wait and see. Looks good.
Now, basically, I know nothing about either park, but you've convinced me. I'm going to pick Tokyo Disney. That worked out easy.
There you go.
But Disney Sea, it has to be Disney Sea. Should I have asked?
Tokyo Disney Sea is their second
the Magic Kingdoms of each
park?
Well,
if you say the Magic Kingdoms of each park, then I don't know that I'd know. I was convinced because it's kind of like somebody saying Walt Disney World. Oh, my God, I'm going to Epcot.
I go to Shanghai. but that wasn't enough.
The thing I was saying,
I'm with you, Melissa.
And my thinking on this one too, telling you ahead of time that you didn't really have to know the parks, it was more like your feeling of, do I want to travel? Like Melissa said, I want to go to Japan one day. Well, boom, you already had that in the back of your mind. So Tokyo is going to be the way to go. China seems a little bit more extreme. I'm not going to get to China as easily. I'm going to get to Tokyo, which I'm not going to get easily to either place, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So where are we going to go next? We've only got a couple more left. Okay. And we've got three left. So here we go. Old movie characters, princesses. Melissa, this is for you. Cinderella or Snow White?
Cinderella.
Why?
Snow White but she kind of has an annoying voice. She's really ditzy. Like, who just goes into the forest and just like wanders into somebody's house and like eats apples from a stranger? No, just she is not a role model that anyone should be having.
Okay, good answer. Sam, how about you?
Cinderella. One reason, the castle. I think Cinderella's castle. I think Walt Disney World.
She married into
it. However she got there, it doesn't matter. That's the castle at Walt Disney World. I mean, the Snow White's cottage is back there in the corner somewhere by the mine train, but it's all about Cinderella's castle. So,
right. Okay, and of course, me giving it some thought because I knew ahead of time, I'm actually going to say Snow White. And the reason I'm going to say Snow White is because, yes, I agree she's annoying. Yes, I agree she's ditzy. I think she was like 15 character age or something like that, kind of like Ariel issues. But here's the thing. This is the princess that basically arm in arm brought Walt Disney into the whole business of animation.
Right.
Meaning Snow White, she funded the company.
Right.
And I'm going to kind of go there. And she actually, I thought, had more personality than a little bit more personality than Cinderella did. Although Cinderella had some bad situations that she was trying to make the best of. So, but yes, Snow White was definitely ditzy. I get that. Okay, guys. So here we go.
Man.
We're going to go back into the parks. And I'm going to let you choose hotel or attraction.
Ooh.
Melissa, you choose.
Wait, am I picking this or that, a hotel, or am I
picking? You're picking the next question.
This or that's within
the next question.
This or that, pick the next question.
Okay, hotel.
Okay. You were given two free nights to stay at one of these two Magic Kingdom hotels, the Grand Floridian or the Polynesian? Okay, fair enough. Why? Would the contemporary have changed your answer?
No.
Okay, what's your answer?
Grand Floridian is my favorite resort. Part of it is just nostalgia. It was the first time I ever went to Walt Disney World. I got to stay at Grand Floridian.
Yeah.
My five-year anniversary, that's where we stayed. It's just gorgeous, beautiful. Yeah. You can walk to the Magic Kingdom. You can monorail, boat. It has everything. Great food. It's the best.
Very cool. Sam, your answer? And you notice I took the contemporary out for that quick walk. That's why I wanted to take it out.
Yeah, because I think contemporary would have been easy because of that quick walk. So I'm going to say Polynesian because I've not stayed there.
Great answer.
And I would like to.
Right.
And that's why I'll go with Poly. And I completely agree with everything Melissa said about the Grand Flow. Absolutely true. But I'd like to try it. So that's what I'd say, Poly.
Same. I've never stayed at Poly either, and I've stayed at Contemporary and Grand Floridian, but never Poly, and I'd love to. It always looks fun. We go there a lot for drinks and dinner and stuff.
The atmosphere.
Contemporary in the A-frame facing Magic Kingdom, I would take that any day, period.
Well, sure. I would love to stay in the A-frame. Contemporary is such a misleading hotel destination, unfortunately. So stay in the A-frame is the ultimate price you're going to pay the Contemporary.
That's right.
More than likely, you'll be staying out in the motel style.
In one of the wings or on the bay side.
Right. Correct. Which the bay side's still not bad either, though. For me, it's going to be the Poly. I've stayed at the Grand Floridian. We've been lucky enough honeymoon there, and we stayed another time with the kids. It's too nice for me. I don't think there's enough. Now it's a lot different. So don't get me wrong. They up the pool there. They up the activities around the outside. They made it more Poly-like, which gives you an idea where the Poly started from. But Poly was my first hotel. Poly, we took the kids there one time too. We were lucky enough. Just the whole, you are at the island there. You go to the pool, you go to the sand that goes into the pool, you go to the beach itself. We used to be able to go in the water a little bit. We don't do that anymore. But even just watching, and this is from either hotel, just watching the Magic Kingdom park from your hotel is almost like it's your personal place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, like I said, it's very, very inclusive as far as you are in the island when you're there. So very cool. Very fun. Okay, last question. We're going to close it up for tonight. Unless one of you guys could throw one at me. So you have a couple.
I need to think about this.
So
I didn't know I had the opportunity to ask you a question there, Ed.
Yeah. We're going to go with extinct attractions for this last one. And this always kind of makes me sad when we talk about the ones that are gone. And we're going to go to the Hollywood Studios. So, Melissa, you're going to take this first. What do you miss the most between, or this or that, between Backlot Tour or the Great Movie Ride?
Wow.
Backlot Tour. It was, you know, you're Laura, that train trolley
tram.
Thing?
Tram.
Yeah, tram. Yeah, that tram's thing. A good word. Yeah. And you didn't know what to expect. I mean, both of them are kind of that way, but you were outside in the elements and they changed up this,
some of the things. Yeah.
The things that you saw all the time. So every time you went, I felt like there was something different, and the heat and that water that like rushed over the tram. I really believed it.
Sure.
Catastrophe Canyon. You're saying Catastrophe Canyon is what you miss most.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sam, how about you?
I am going, you know, it's interesting because both of these attractions, when I think of them in their, the best part is when they had live people going through the spiel. We know that as time went on, they both got replaced by recordings. And if I go all the way back to when they were both spiels and people were talking, the Great Movie Ride and that interaction that the cast member had, and two different ways that you could go through it, whether you went through the gangster scene or you went through the Western scene. And when the cast member left the tram and got sucked up in there and it got taken over by the gangster or by the other, it was just sure. Such great showmanship. It's such a great attraction.
That's a great point. I mean, both of them, when they had at live,
yes,
cast members, but even with the Backlot Tour, when they would bring you, guests would go. My dad and my cousin actually got picked for the Pearl Harbor scene.
Sure.
And yeah. We're rolling around with other people like on the ship pretending to like, you know, try to live, and we are just laughing, and it was so much fun to see that. So having that human interaction, which I think lends itself to, is always a little bit different.
Yeah, especially on that one, Ed, you'll remember that the prop shop that you went through, or the wardrobe, sure, when there were people working back there when you went through that stuff. That was so cool to see them painting something that you knew was going to be in Magic Kingdom for the holidays. It was just the coolest thing.
And that was the best part. There were so many different different activities in the Backlot Tour that you got to do. And over the years, they started cutting different things. You went through the airplane at one point, or you saw where they had the set for an airplane shoot. And you're right, the Boneyard was always great. So now here's a question about the Great Movie Ride, though. I saw some video the other day, again, reminding me how they used to have female gangsters. Did anybody remember ever seeing a female cowgirl? I guess that's redundant, but a cowgirl. Because I know we've, and of course, the cowboy scene ended up being very rare as far as our trips went.
Well, it depended on the car you got in, right? The first car or the second car. Sometimes they were only running the front one.
Well, okay, fair enough. It just seemed like they had the cowboy off for the day some days. But I've never seen a cowgirl, and I was just wondering if they ever had that character. So if anybody listening has ever seen that, please email me. Let me know, because I'm very curious about that.
I think I have, but I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
You would think there would have been.
But definitely for me, it's the Backlot Tour. Again, the PT boat scene from the very beginning of it.
Sure.
Even waiting in line and seeing the Pearl Harbor sets toward the end were pretty cool.
Yep.
But then going through it, you're right, the prop room was phenomenal, especially with the kids, because we're always finding the different movies we've seen. And then moving on to, and I worked at Caesars in wardrobe for 10 years. So the wardrobe department was always an interesting part of my tour.
Oh, that's cool.
And, things like that. So very, very fun. Very, very cool.
I got a question for you, Ed.
Oh, okay, Sam.
I just thought of it. I'm going to give you a three-way question.
Oh, okay. You're making the rule yourself by adding it. Okay.
I'm always adding one more. Anybody that's listened to the show knows any top 10 with Sam is going to have 10 plus 5 honorable mentions. So it's 15. So I got 3, and I'm taking you back to Extinct Attractions again, and I'm putting you in Epcot.
Ooh, careful.
And I'm going to let you go on Horizons or World of Motion or the original Figment. Where are you headed?
You know, the knee jerk is Figment, of course, but no, it's going to be World of Motion. I don't remember enough of it. I've only been on it once, and I'd want to see World of Motion just because of the history and behind it and where it came from and just what it is. Yeah.
I was so Ward Kimball all over that and the humor in that attraction. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Melissa, did you get the ride at any of those?
I feel like maybe, but I would have been 7 or 8.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah, some awesome YouTube videos to watch about either ride. We might have to actually do a show sometime or maybe do a live show, guys, where we'll actually have a watching session. And
we should try that sometime. We could go in the Hydrolators. We could go to Universe of Energy before Ellen.
Right.
Anyway, there's a whole show right there.
I almost had the this or that with the Ellen ride. That was going to be one of my Epcot ones that were gone.
Ellen or Guardians? Come on.
No. Yeah. That would actually still be a hard one to do because I thought.
Do you
Ellen
think?
Was great. It was a perfect. It was a perfect informative Epcot attraction.
It was
talking about petroleum and talking about recycling and talking about and having a star in it, even though the animatronic notoriously didn't look like her. But fun.
I would do Ellen any day over Figment. So
yeah,
Ellen over Figment.
I agree.
Figment. Sure. Even
all right. So then there's another two questions there because these are: is it Ellen versus Guardians, and then is it Great Movie Ride versus Runaway Railway? I mean, those are legit questions, aren't they? What do you think, Melissa? What do you like?
I mean, Guardians is...
It's awesome.
It's hard. Yeah. I agree with Ed that Ellen embodied what Epcot originally was and was supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's attraction and educational. Not a lot of educational value that I could pull out from Guardians. Guardians just good fun.
It's true.
Which
great movie ride or Mickey and Minnie's Runaway.
See, now, if the great movie ride would have ever, if they ever would have updated anything other than the movie, I would have given it such great kudos for trying to stay with it and bringing better movies.
Yeah.
Literally, they should have created the attraction in the first part of it where three rooms were meant to be changed out every like 5 years.
Yeah.
And then you would have like, you know, the door opening up easy enough because it was designed in there, getting the sets out, getting the new sets set up. And also you would have designed it for a go around. Like in how Wizard of Oz, sometimes you were missing part of that. You had like a go around or something.
Yeah.
Well, you could have, you know, it would be perfect.
That's interesting because ride. I think on this show in the almost 500 episodes we're up to, we've done a lot of shows about the Great Movie Ride where we walked through it and we talked about the movies. And I think at one point we did a movie marathon watching each of the movies from each of those things and then speculating on what they could evolve it to incorporate new franchises and how they can make it. And then as it turns out, Mickey Mouse was the new franchise and he took over the whole building and that's okay. But
old was the new.
Yeah. The old was the new. That's exactly it.
It's almost cruel having us walk through the hallway of the old Grumman's Chinese Theater line on the way into Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad because it's almost identical to the Great Movie Ride. And then you walk into that new room and it's like, this is so different than it was. And then you move on to the ride.
Yeah. And you know what? The kids that have never been on Great Movie Ride love it for what it is.
Right.
And they have no idea. And it's the premiere of Perfect Picnic. Or is that what it is? Perfect Picnic?
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a topic of another show. It's just like the technology they've brought in the last 10 years of all the brand new attractions are just incredible. The opening scene of Mickey Minnie's Railroad is just out of this world.
Oh, yeah.
And it just gets better.
Walk into the movie.
Crazy. So you really can't knock it versus what it was there. It was just such different things. I just think they could have kept what they had and Mickey's could have been somewhere else.
Okay. I get my this or that question.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. You get a walkabout character for Galaxy's Edge. Do you have Mandalorian or Boba Fett?
Oh, say that again. Man. Mando or Boba Fett?
Oh, yeah. who I'm walking around as?
No, who's walking, like who's a meet and greeter walking around in Galaxy's Edge? I mean, we already have Mando, but if you can only pick one.
Disneyland has had both, by the way.
Yeah, it's a Mandalorian. Well, Disneyland wasn't the original parade out in California with Boba Fett in before he was even.
It wasn't California. It was somewhere in Hollywood. Yeah. When he was all white, the first appearance of Boba Fett, when he was supposed to be a set of the elite stormtroopers, which were all in white before they painted his armor differently.
I would still say Mando because his accessories are 10 times better whenever Boba Fett could be carrying around.
This is true, especially if he's carrying around Grogu.
Grogu, yeah.
Yeah, Grogu is awesome.
You know, that's hopefully we'll see them down there.
I don't know, man. So I have seen Boba Fett multiple times at Disneyland in Launch Bay, not in Galaxy's Edge.
And he had to be Star Wars Weekends.
Oh, absolutely. He was a Star Wars. Yes, absolutely. He was a Star Wars Weekends. He was in the parade every time. He was part of the 501st, and he was always there. There were a lot of characters at Star Wars Weekends.
He was the Mandalorian. There was no other.
You're exactly right. He was the Mandalorian.
Anybody else before the cartoons, the Clone Wars started and everything.
Think about that. That's exactly it. We just had heard rumblings of this whole Mandalorian, all these things.
And then we find out he's not even really a Mandalorian.
He's not. Well, but we know that. I knew that. At some point, I learned that he just had Mandalorian armor, but it wasn't a Mandalorian, but I had no idea what that meant.
Sure.
But that at some point. But
now we do.
I love Boba Fett.
You feel like you're betraying your childhood.
Yes, Boba Fett, man.
Little young Sam by saying, oh, maybe I don't want to.
It's Boba Fett, man. I love Boba Fett and Darth Vader. Those are the two I want to meet every time. Which, by the way, I don't know. With the closing of the Star Cruiser, and I know, Ed, you and I had some conversations about that. What happens next? I don't know. Is this opening the door to change some of the timeline? Because, look, the question that everybody asks when they go to Galaxy's Edge, who hasn't been there or doesn't know, where's Darth Vader? And I understand, because if I wasn't as connected to this whole thing as I am, holding my Star Wars stuff all the time,
right?
I wouldn't know that. Well, he's not in the timeline because it's past, and he visited here, but he's not here now because he's long gone, and the First Order is taken over, and who cares who Kylo Ren is? Anyway.
Well, that's only if you're over at the Animation Courtyard. That's when you could talk to Darth Vader and anybody else you want from the old Star Wars. Then you move over to Galaxy's Edge, and you move on a couple of years. Either way.
It's a great question, Melissa, and clearly it sparks some debate, but... Mm-hmm. As I look up here, it's got to be Boba.
There you go. Nice.
Oh. Oh, yeah, right there.
There you go. Oh, hold on. I have a little keychain hanger from my microphone.
This I just got, which is my...
We're all showing all pods.
We're showing our
little... Oh, that's pretty neat.
That is nice.
I just got that recently. Anyway.
Okay, guys.
I love Boba Fett and Darth Vader. You know that. Everybody knows that.
Well, sure you do.
You're evil,
Sam. You're dark side.
It's enough, Sam's. He's got his Darth Vader shirt on, even.
He's always asking for that third option. There you go.
The third option. Is it the light, the dark, or my way?
Both. Okay, guys. So what do you think? Was it this or was it that? Let us know. Send us an email. Let us know the answers you had. Like I said, I will read any of these emails on the next show whenever you get a chance to send it to us. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 488 of the Disney Nerds Podcast, doing a little bit of this or that. For Melissa, for Sam, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
Kongaloosh. Woo!